Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree, and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology, right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Welcome. My name is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi, and you are listening to Street Talk Theology, where we keep theology real and we bring it to the streets. Hey, guys, listen, guys and girls, if you want to give me a shout out at PastorGrimaldi@gmail.com, I'd love to interact with you guys. But like I always say, Street Talk Theology is not about me. It's about how people bring their theology to the streets, whether that's in the home, the school, the marriage, the family, and the friendships. And we are continuing our interview with Dawn Thomas, who wrote the book When God Calls. And obviously, it was concerning the death of a son. And we got into that pretty well last week. But I want to continue with Dawn. Dawn, say hello to everybody.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Dawn is back, and we are thankful and grateful to have her back to go over the book. And obviously, we know about Ryan. First of all, you have anything to say to the audience this morning before we start? Anything?
No. Thank you for being here. And if you have any questions, please reach out to the pastor and also myself, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, we will. We'll get some. We'll leave some information. But one thing, Dawn, if I may, the other aspect of Ryan's death, or we want to say from death to life, can I say that, if I may, is your husband Kevin. And we've had this discussion, me and you, before, Ms. Dawn, about how people grieve differently.
Yes.
So that's basically my question. I'm going to frame the question like this. Did Kevin, your husband Kevin, and you grieve differently? And how did you guys navigate that together? And I think that's a fair question, right?
Absolutely. And absolutely. So in answering that question, Kevin was on a trip, and I had to be the one to make that phone call, and it was extremely difficult. I didn't actually get through the phone call. He couldn't understand what I was saying because I was, you know, bawling so much. And he happened to be driving, so he had to kind of stop, and the officer that was there that had delivered the information to me had to finish telling him what had happened. And so, of course, he immediately had returned home, and all I could think about at the time was how absolutely alone he must have felt, because he didn't really know a whole lot of information. And he was just to be able to drive safely from where he was and to get home safely was, I can't even imagine. We don't talk about too much on that drive.
Yeah. You know, and I, reading the book, I think one of the aspects of the book that kind of caught me was Kevin was kind of blaming himself a little bit, because I guess him and his son, now listen, I'm from New York City, Dawn, so I don't even know what scouting is. So when I read in the book, and I didn't want to be like, hey, Dawn, what's scouting? But I guess Ryan and his dad were supposed to go scouting. First of all, you can help me. What is scouting? And second of all, because Kevin had to do something else, and they didn't go scouting, whatever that is. Kevin kind of blamed himself a little bit. But first, tell me what scouting is, please.
Right, right. So if there's any hunters out there, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about here. Kevin and Ryan were hunters. And actually, Ryan was kind of more in the initiation phase of hunting, but Kevin had been doing it for a little bit. And so about the time of October and even into November, depending on when your hunt might be, you kind of get out there and you scout and you find out where you're going to kill.
Notice he's got all the lingo where your hunt would be. Now, a guy from New York, I don't know much about hunting. But what I'm sorry, Dawn, what I do want to ask on this is, Kevin blaming himself. I want you to talk about that and how maybe you guys discussed that.
Right. So when he got back and after, I'm not sure exactly when this conversation took place with us, but I remember us talking and him saying that that Ryan wanted to go scouting and, you know, could he go? And, you know, because they had a hunt coming up in December and that he was unable to go due to this pre-planned trip. So, and he kept saying to himself, if only I had gone scouting, Ryan, if we had gone scouting, Ryan would be here. And my initial thought was, no, that I can understand how you're thinking that, but that was not God's plan.
Yeah, under God's, exactly. And that's another question that you know, we ask about, I'd like to ask. The hard providences of God, we see them throughout the Bible, where things happen and we just don't understand. And so, how do you come to a biblical understanding? So do you have to continue to reflect on this? Do you continue to reflect on, say, what happened to Ryan? Why did it have to be? Or have you come to a place where you've just accepted the hard providences of God? Because this is hard providence, right?
Yes, it is.
So I think it's a fair question to say, are you settled in this? Is there times that you, again, not questioning God, that's not what I'm saying. Is there times that you just don't get it? Or just, I don't know, would you want it to be different? You know, those are fair questions, right?
Actually, I love that last question you just asked. And I'm going to tell you why I would not want it to be different. Because that would be the utter most selfish perspective I could ever come from. Because spending eternity with God and being back here on earth where it's nothing but evil and hell, no, I'm not for a nanosecond would I want my son to be back in a place like this for my purposes or for just because so I can see him or feel him or touch him again. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is with God the Father, and he is in perfect peace and wonderfulness. And I kind of go into a chapter about heaven a little bit in the book.
You do.
And, but whatever I have to say or whatever a biblical theologian or scholar has to say it doesn't even remotely scratch the surface of what God, the glory of what God brings. Actually, the book of Revelation, I think John, the Apostle John probably comes the closest to a new heaven, a new earth for us. But, no, I can't. I would never want him back. No, for those selfish purposes.
You know, Dawn, you mentioned Ryan being a 21-year-old, and I read in the book there was a time in the book, obviously, but there was a time in your life with Ryan that you believed in your heart that he was a true believer.
Yes.
Now, we know Ryan at 21 years old. I mean, you know, but there was some things that I read in the book that assured you of Ryan's salvation. And I think I'd like to ask that question if I may.
Yes. And I'm so glad you did, because that really is kind of a follow up to what the Lord did for me 2 months prior to his passing and I talk about what happened 2 weeks prior. So roughly 2 weeks, Ryan was watching television. I happened to be cooking something in the kitchen. And
what are you making, Dawn? I'm Italian. I always,
you know,
like
what? I was making spaghetti because he loves spaghetti.
Oh. You see that?
There you go. So anyway, I happened to be making spaghetti and cooking, and we were kind of just conversing. And there was a newscast that came on about somebody who they were talking about a death, somebody who had died suddenly. And we were just kind of listening to it and thinking about it. And out of the blue, Ryan stopped. He actually muted the TV and he turned and he looked at me and he said, "Mom, I'm not afraid to die." And I thought, okay, I know we just kind of heard this newscast. What he goes, "No, Mom, I need you to know I'm not afraid to die." And I said, "Ryan, as I'm thinking, wow, that's extremely profound, especially right now in the middle of this, you know, in life right this moment. And I said, Ryan, thank you for sharing that, basically. And I said, to know that you know that you know where you're going when you die, you know who your God is, brought me peace that surpasses all understanding.
But, you know, think about this, and you talked about the providence of God. Think about if Ryan did not spend that 2 weeks with you. You mightn't, right? I mean,
for two months.
Right? Well, the 2 months. Was it the final 2 months, or was it?
It was 2 months, and then and then this conversation.
This was two weeks prior. So my point is, if you don't have that providential time with Ryan, you may not, in your own mind, you may have thought, "Where was my son at? Where was?" Was it? So God, think about the kindness of God. He brought you guys together to give you the assurance of his salvation.
Absolutely. And that was probably kind of the difference between where his dad was struggling and where I was a little bit, you know, as time went on a little bit, because God had given me that conversation. And that conversation, it came to me after hearing of the news. It came to me in the depth of my pain and suffering. God gave me assurance that he was with him. And, you know, in the middle of it, and only the Lord Jesus Christ does this. He loves you, and he envelops you, and he gives you assurances, and he gives you the peace that, again, a non-believer could not possibly have because of their not knowing God. And I can't imagine, as I say in the book, I can't imagine any parent or anybody losing a loved one or being a non-believer and losing a loved one. You know, they end up suffering from this, their hearts are broken and they can't mend and they can't heal. But as a believer in the hope that Jesus has given us and the compassion that God bestows on the ones that he loves, it just is overwhelming. And again, my words bring no justice. The words or even any sort of, I don't know what to say other than they don't do justice to what the Bible and what God has given us. And he's given us him. He's given us him through his word. And for those that believe, it's the peace and the hope in the midst of our darkest hours.
One of the things that struck me poignantly, if I may, was how you mentioned that this incident, this death of Ryan, actually strengthened your faith.
Mm, amen.
Listen, usually something like this would weaken somebody's faith. And I think I think Kevin went through some of those moments of a weakening of faith, maybe. If I'm reading the book right. But you actually say this death from death to life actually strengthen your faith. Everybody needs to hear about that.
Yes, and it's so true, because often in counseling, again, when people are going through suffering and they're going through grief, oftentimes, you know, people will look for answers everywhere but the Bible. And the only hope and peace that we truly get from suffering in this world and the grief that we go through and the death that we go through is the life that happens after death. And so with that,
that's my fault for cutting you off. But I do want to say this. So here's my question. Here's what I want to say just one more time, if I may. You were able to be strengthened through Ryan's death in your faith. And that's something that I just want you to think about. I know how I need to know something like that. I think the audience needs to know how you were strengthened through this.
Well, again, the assurance of God just wrapping me up, just the Holy Spirit, just continually feeding me. But I knew, you know, things, you know, God uses our suffering for a myriad of ways. And for every life, it might be different. But what I ended up doing is just, instead of pulling back, I pressed in. I wanted to know more. I actually wanted to share initially when I knew that I wanted to share the story of Ryan. I was going to take it in a different direction, and God had a different plan for me in the direction that he wanted it to go. But through that, in pressing on, that's how I became a biblical counselor, because I really wanted to reach out to those that were hurting and grieving. And I wanted to do what I could for God, because I can't imagine keeping to myself what he did for me and not sharing it with the world, because he's amazing that way. And I want everybody to feel and to know that kind of peace and that kind of love. And the fact that I think about, you know, nobody suffered worse than Jesus suffered.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Jesus is, the whole Bible is about the gospel. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's God's history. And Jesus starts in Genesis 3:15 all the way through. So the whole point of suffering, God uses it. As much as we can be lost in our own stuff, he uses it for our good, but also for his glory, because what we're doing right now is for his glory.
Amen. You know, Dawn, you talk about, there's something in, I think it was in chapter 8, I'm not sure, but you talk about idols. Something that I want you to talk about, I want you to expound on. So I always say this, and I'll give you my synopsis of that, but I want to hear you. I say things like, Satan more times than not will supplement the good for the best. So, and coming like an angel of light. But you did mention about idols, and I need you to expound on that if you can. And how does that fit into the story, so to speak?
Yes. So, you know, we all go through trials in life. You know, God is no respecter of persons, whether you're a believer or a non-believer. We all go through sufferings. We all go through trials in life. But James, in chapter 1 of his book, and this is James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote this, said, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So that if we lack wisdom, we need to go to the Lord, and he gives generously. The thing about testing, you know, God does test our faith, because out of it, however we react to suffering, could be wherever we are spiritually, wherever we are from a spiritual aspect. Is God needing to nudge us a little bit? Okay, you got to rely on him. You know, if the world was perfect, as it initially was, you know, in Genesis 1 and 2, God was there. But we fell, okay? Adam sinned, and we're all born sinners. When something bad happens in life, or when we go through trials, or we go through suffering, even it could be a suffering, it could be a lifelong disease, or being disabled, or whatever it might be. But God uses that for our good in ways of, you know, how are we committed to him? You know, what is our commitment level to him? What are we doing? Are we putting our careers, our jobs, our children ahead of God?
That's a great point. Children ahead of God. That is a great point. Our children can become idols.
Absolutely. And mothers are notorious for this. Sometimes fathers as well. We make anything, when I say ahead of an idol, anything that when I say idols, and where I talk about idols, this isn't.
Not statues.
Because idols in our, in the Western culture, in our lives today, have to do with things other that we put a priority into that are above God. Okay. And so, you know, we can do this in a myriad of ways. And so, the idol for making sure that is God my priority? Am I putting God first in everything in my life, or who am I putting ahead of God that I'm not giving God his due? So that's what I talk about with respect to idols.
So we have about 5 or 6 minutes left, and chapter 12 talks about assurance versus no assurance. And then it talks about a dream that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you know, what better way to close the book When God Calls with a dream that you had that you believe that gave you the assurance of what this book basically speaks about concerning you and your son and obviously your husband. Can you relate that to us? And then after that, let people know how they can get in touch with you. Even if they just want to ask you a question or whatever. If I may, in the last 3 or 4 minutes, tell me about that dream.
Okay. So I kind of bring it all together with respect to the assurance of what God did for me. It's kind of the trilogy is that, you know, the first one was the 2 months that I had with Ryan, then it was the conversation 2 weeks prior to his death, and then this dream that happened a couple of months after he passed. I had a dream where, you know, you feel like you're actually awake. So it's one of those, you're not sure if it's a vision or it's
right,
a dream, but it's,
right.
You know, I'm going to call it more of a dream, but I'm in this state of, I was completely, you know, in a place where there was suddenly an extremely bright light that came through a window. I remembered feeling absolutely paralyzed, too scared to move. And I kind of equate that to, James and Peter being in John with the transfiguration, just being scared, become dead-like, you know, where you're seeing this and you're like, wow, and you're just in this state of being frozen. And I remember just seeing this absolutely beautiful creature. To initially, I was thinking, oh, wow, am I seeing Ryan? Am I seeing Ryan? And, but also knowing that, no, that can't be. I'm not seeing Ryan because God, despite, as I say, what the Hollywood movies like to, showcase, God doesn't do that. We do not see our loved ones, after they pass. But, as it turns out to me, it was this beautiful creature. And I remember believing that thinking it was an angel who just simply kissed me on the cheek. And I woke up just in this, and crying because it was, and I knew right then and there, it was this, that God was just saying to me that in the midst of the deepest pain that I felt and the heartache that was happening, to have an angel just kiss me on the cheek to let me know all was well, all was well. And I honestly, Pastor, did not know until many years later, because I didn't study the angels or anything like that. I knew what the Lord had said, that God sends, he uses angels. But he specifically uses angels to minister to his beloved.
People.
He uses them. And he used this angel. He sent me this angel to again give me the assurance of his love, his salvation, of eternal life with Jesus Christ. And that's where my son was.
Amen. Dawn, so how can people get in touch with you as we start to wrap up here? Just maybe they have a question. Maybe they're going through something that you may be going through similar to what you're going through. Maybe just to reach out as a friend, or maybe to have a counseling session. I mean, I know that's not what you're here for, and that we're here to just give God glory. But still, in all, somebody may be going through something like this. So, how can they reach out to you,
Pastor? The first place one of the first places I would go straight, they can reach out to you.
Yeah. Because you Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail.
That's
yeah.
right. So reach out to Desert Sky. I know that, I believe you all can still, people can order the book or find out about the book.
Yeah, it's on the website. Yeah, it's on the website.
I am also in the, ACBC, which is the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, on their website as well in the, Mesa, Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. They can reach out. I have a website that is called masterstouchministries.net. And then the book is also on Amazon.com. Again, it's When God Calls, and or they can reach out to the publisher, which is bookbaby.com. So the publisher also will get the book to people. So there's kind of a variety of ways that if you wanted to reach out for the book, but also you can reach me through Master's Touch, through Pastor Grimaldi, or through the ACBC website.
Dawn Thomas, it's been an honor to have you here, to spend, man, almost an hour between last time and this time. Hey, come back someday and talk with us. Us street talk theologians, you know, we try to take it to the street and bring it to the street. Well, you know what? You brought it to the street for us.
Thank you.
In your home. And what you went through with your family. And one thing we can say, he's a good God.
Amen.
And the Bible says he does all things well. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi for Street Talk Theology. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.